The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
This is the Bloomberg Daybreak Europe podcast, available every morning on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It's Wednesday, the 24th of April here in London. I'm Caroline Hepker.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Coming up today, Tesla speeds up plans for budget electric vehicles as profits and revenue miss estimates.
The US Senate passes a massive military aid package and a boost for Ukraine as Rishi Sunak pledges to ramp up military spending and put the UK on a war footing.
Plus, failing to find the nouveau riche, Gucci's parent company warns profits are set to plunge amid weak demand in China.
Let's start with a roundup of our top stories.
Tesla has pledged to speed up the launch of less expensive cars in a bid to revive sagging demand. The electric vehicle maker says it now wants to start production of new, cheaper models this year instead of 2025. The announcement sent shares soaring by 15% post-market, but not everyone is convinced, including Tesla investor Ross Gerber.
Well, I just don't believe that statement. I don't see how they're going to pull forward production of this vehicle to be ready in a year after they just laid off 15,000 people and a lot of factories and a lot of high quality individuals just lost their jobs. So I'm kind of curious to, you know, we can say things, but we know that when Elon says something, it often takes 4 years after the initial comment.
Ross Gerber is the president and CEO of Gerber Kawasaki Wealth and Investment. He says he wants much more clarity from Elon Musk on the details of a budget Tesla. The news overshadowed, though, a big shortfall in Tesla's first quarter earnings, which saw revenue dropping by 9% to $21.3 billion.
The US Senate has passed a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel and Taiwan. The long-delayed bill includes more than $60 billion to support Kyiv in its ongoing war with Russia. It's understood that arms shipments to Ukraine of artillery shells and air defense munitions could resume within days. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer hailed the aid as a sign that America stands by its allies.
Leader McConnell and I, who don't always agree, worked hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, to get this bill done. Together we were bipartisan and persistent.
Despite Chuck Schumer's words, the bill's six-month delay created painful shortages in weapons, which pushed Ukraine's fighting forces close to a breaking point. President Joe Biden is expected to sign the package into law today.
What tied into the US aid bill was a motion to ban TikTok from being Chinese-owned. The measure gives nearly a year for ByteDance to sell the social media app before it gets banned in America. The company has promised to fight the legislation in court on free speech grounds. Likely Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump recently came out against a TikTok ban, saying it could boost rival Meta.
In the UK, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is promising to increase the defence spending of the country to 2.5% of GDP by 2030. He says that that amounts to an extra £75 billion over the next 6 years. Sunak argues that the move is a necessity in an increasingly uncertain world.
The new assertiveness of these authoritarian states far from our shores must concern us because they are increasingly acting together against the fundamental values that we all hold dear of democracy, freedom and the rule of law.
However, the Prime Minister's promised spending increase would come after the general election. The Labour Party says that it would examine the detail of the Tory announcement closely before deciding whether to match the time frame. Public finance data published yesterday showed the government's budget shortfall overshot forecasts, highlighting the constraints facing the Treasury.
Kering is warning that profits will dip significantly in the first half of the year. The owner of Gucci and Balenciaga pointed to weak demand in China in its first quarter results. Bloomberg's Tiwa Adebayo has the details.
A crisis at flagship brand Gucci and a polarised luxury market are making for trying times at Kering Group. The luxury house is preparing the market for a drop of up to 45% in operating income over the first half of 2024. Despite appointing a new creative director last year, the company says a turnaround at Gucci, responsible for over two-thirds of operating profit, will take time. Kering's CFO says the Italian brand is struggling in China due to its mid-market position when consumers are either geared towards high-end or affordable goods. The group continues to lag behind its luxury rivals, including LVMH and Hermes. In London, Tiwa Adebayo, Bloomberg Radio.
Traders are starting to bet that the Federal Reserve won't cut interest rates this year. Ahead of the decision on the 1st of May, some have even hedged the possibility that the central bank will deliver another hike in 2024. A resilient economy could be stalling policymakers. JP Morgan's CEO says that consumers are in a good position despite inflationary pressure.
Even if we go to a recession, the consumer's in good shape. But that doesn't mean you can fight off the effects of stagflation or something like that if it gets much worse. And so, you know, I worry that it looks more like the 70s than we've seen before. If you go back to the 70s, deficits were half what they are today. The debt to GDP was 35%, not 100%. And so part of the reason I think we've had this strong growth is the fiscal spending.
Jamie Dimon speaking there. A total of roughly 40 basis points of Fed cuts are currently priced into swaps by the end of the year. Now, in a moment, we'll get more details on Tesla's results and ask also whether the US aid package for Ukraine will really help Kyiv to defeat the Russian invasion. But another story has caught our eye this morning. There's been so much chatter about this amongst producers and us here in the Bloomberg office in London. Certainly the wall-to-wall commentary about Taylor Swift's latest album. It was released on Friday, and our opinion columnist Jessica Cole has been writing about, well, the album, but also the reviewers.
Yeah, well, no, this isn't a review of the album, because sure. Actually Jessica Carl's point is that actually the fact that the speed with which reviews are produced doesn't necessarily give anyone a chance to listen to the music, especially given that this is 31 songs, and it's very difficult to understand how anyone could have listened to, digested, considered, put in context, and then written something that was coherent. Now, there's two things at play here. One is the appetite for, you know, a million hot takes, which you can find online instantly almost, as people are going to be fanatically for or against any album release that's been hyped up this month. Her argument is we should all switch off the commentary, take our time to listen to something new. If it's going to be a cultural moment, form our own opinions about it, consider it, and perhaps we should pay a little less attention to reviews that are produced too hastily.
I mean, it does feel like she's trying to push a bit against the tide of the internet. I mean, that's what it's all about. But yes, it's more of a critique around the music industry and how we digest. I mean, she did call it poetry. I'm just at the beginning.
It is the tortured poets department.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yes, true. I'm just at the beginning of listening to the 31
songs.
So
we will wait several days before asking you for your opinion, yes, Caroline. Absolutely. Let's turn back to our top story then on that shortfall reported in Tesla's first quarter earnings. Sales slide in margins, but Elon Musk has managed to shift the narrative by talking about speeding up the launch of less expensive cars. That sent the share price soaring in post-market trading. Joining us now to discuss, Bloomberg's Asia transport reporter, Danny Lee. Danny, great to have you on. What do we know then about this affordable Tesla car promised by Elon Musk?
To be fair, we know very little still. There is still a lot of confusion about what Musk is trying to do and achieve. But the basic breakdown is that Elon Musk and Tesla are looking to bring forward and accelerate the launch of less expensive vehicles, less expensive EVs. This is really fundamental to Tesla reviving its kind of sagging performance. The share price has been falling. There's been less momentum or lower momentum in earnings. And so therefore, Tesla needs to have new products coming forward as soon as early next year, not as late as late 2025, which is what the previous timeline was. The big question is whether Tesla is going to bring out this much anticipated $25,000 EV, which is, you know, one of its cheapest yet. However, is this also going to be something similar or related, an autonomous robo-taxi, for example, which Tesla has been also touting to an announcement in August, and Elon Musk is saying he'll give more details then. But on the earnings call, there was not a lot of clarity on some of these questions about accelerating its kind of plans on this kind of multiple low affordable EVs that could come down the line later on.
Yeah, even though Musk was asked about it, of course. What about the earnings themselves, though, especially in the key market of China, Danny?
Yeah, earnings overall, it's not great, frankly, and we knew this was going to be the case, and on many of the line items, a miss on estimates. But in somewhere like China, where Elon Musk has been losing market share, it's inevitable where they've been losing market share that it's had an impact. China has had a big of an impact, frankly, and given the start of the year in the EV market in mainland China, it's been tough for all automakers. And what we have seen is a renewed price war, something that Tesla had started a year ago, that other competitors who are stronger, who are selling more vehicles, have the financial firepower now to undermine Tesla. And what we saw over the weekend was Tesla respond ahead of this earnings with price cuts in the US and in China in particular. Substantial price cuts to a point where Tesla is selling its models at some of the lowest prices it has ever sold them at. So it set kind of the price benchmark to a new low, frankly. Clearly, trying to attract more people to buy. It remains to be seen if he can really use a price lever, because we've not really seen that in the sales numbers so far.
Okay, Danny Lee, thanks so much for joining us with the details of Tesla's earnings. That's Bloomberg's Asia Transport reporter, Danny.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Lee.
Now, the US Senate has approved the $95 billion emergency aid package for Ukraine and other allies. President Joe Biden will sign the bill into law. The $61 billion for Ukraine will mean arms shipments to Kyiv can resume. The White House expects that to start happening this week. Joining us now to discuss, Bloomberg's EMEA News Director, Roslyn Matheson. Good morning, Ros. Look, many doubt Pentagon supplies now will make a difference immediately, but do you think it can change the course of the war with Russia? What is the thinking about this huge sum of money going to Kyiv in weaponry?
Well, it is a lot of money, and it will help them get aid shipments in, military aid, particularly the Army Tactical Missile System, which is a surface-to-surface artillery weapon system. You get that, you get artillery, you get ammunition to the front line. And a lot of it is actually already set up to go. It's in Europe, and they can ship it across the border. So it is a lot of aid. But as you say, it's come many, many months after Ukraine said it needed it. And Ukraine's been running very low on things like ammunition and artillery for many months, and also just on stuff to deflect some of these missile attacks that we're seeing and drone attacks we're seeing from Russia. So it will be an asset. But of course, once you start to lose momentum, it's a bit hard to regain it. And Russia certainly has the momentum, at least on the ground inside Ukraine at the moment. It's been regaining bit by bit some territory that it had occupied in the early days of the war. It's been taking fresh territory, particularly in the east and the south. And, you know, that's going to be something very difficult to stave off, even with the arrival of these weapons. Of course, Russia's cranked its war machinery into high gear. It's just churning out ammunition and artillery and everything else at a rate of not. So is it an asset for Ukraine? Absolutely. Is it likely to change the course of the war? That's kind of up in the air.
Ros, what does the debate and the prolonged delay to this aid tell us about the divisions in American politics over this issue and where it places US leadership in the world?
Well, there is that split that you can see, and it's in the Republican camp, but it's also in other parts of politics in the US, and that's between hawks who say the US still needs to be very much out there in the world acting as a global police officer, you know, kind of defending different countries, getting involved to some extent in conflicts and spending money to do so. And there's lots of other Republicans who say, no, it's no longer our fight. What are we doing wasting this money overseas when we should be spending it at home in the US, and we're getting involved in fights that are not ours to be involved in? And that's certainly a narrative that's increasingly taking hold in U.S. politics, again, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. It's a real issue into the U.S. election campaign. Also, you can see the presumptive Republican nominee, Donald Trump, very clear. He doesn't want the U.S. being involved in these things. He says he would end all these various conflicts in a day and certainly doesn't want to continue to support Ukraine militarily. So that is, but that's also reflecting the public mood. That's not just politicians. There is that sense in the public that they're tired of the US getting involved in conflicts overseas and spending money. And that, you know, whoever wins the election in November, that's not good news for Ukraine.
Yeah, a recurring theme in the US. Also in this bill, Roz, forcing TikTok's Chinese owners ByteDance to sell the platform, but not for a year. Is Beijing going to let that happen?
Well, this is going to be a tough one, actually, because for a start, TikTok is going to mount all kinds of legal efforts against this once it passed into law. They've got a year and they'll get underway. Their argument will actually be using US law. They'll say that forcing Americans off the platform will deprive them of their First Amendment rights to free speech. And that's something that really does resonate in the American judicial system. So they can use every legal avenue. But also, selling off TikTok will probably require the approval of the Chinese regulators. And you can't imagine they're going to agree to this happening, in part because they don't want TikTok's algorithms or its data and so on to be able to be bought by someone in America. And certainly that's what our sources have been telling us here at Bloomberg. So you've got a whole lot of steps that have to be done before you can actually ban TikTok in the US or force TikTok to be divested by ByteDance. And the political climate is one aspect of that, the legal is another, but also the involvement of the Chinese having to sign off on it.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.